Union Church this morning. I thought about it. I looked around this congregation. We have many not here this morning, many traveling, some affected by COVID, has already been mentioned here. But as I look at this congregation, it's a beautiful, beautiful group, the Lord's people. The vast majority relates to me by the natural ties of this flesh, of natural ties of blood, several others by marriage, and then all of you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning we ask you to pray for us. We enjoyed what Brother Joe brought to our attention this morning. I don't feel like I need my armor quite as much inside this building. When I walk out that door, we need to put on the whole armor of God, that, again, we may be prepared to withstand the wiles of the devil. But this morning I want to begin reading first with the subject on my mind this morning. We'll look at this for a little while, if the Lord will be our helper. In Psalm 84, verse 10, it says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What's that exactly about this morning? We want to look at that, if the Lord will be our helper, for just a little while. The last time I was here, one main verse that I used in my efforts to preach was found in John chapter 10, verse 19, I think it is, which says, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." What is the purpose of a door anyway? What's the purpose of a door? One of the primary purposes is the entrance and exit to buildings or structures. Another important reason to have a door is privacy or security. Why are these doors closed this morning? They aren't locked. I kept watching brothers and sisters in Christ come into this building this morning, and I knew a lot that wouldn't be here this morning. When I got here, I found out more that wouldn't be here because of afflictions of this flesh. But, one reason it's closed is a noise barrier. Another reason is for ventilation, to maintain a comfortable temperature inside this building. Sometimes doors are closed to thwart fire, the spread of fire. It will diminish that because of the restriction in airflow. We're talking about a doorkeeper this morning. A lot of times doors are mentioned in Scripture. Gates also a type of door. In Matthew chapter 7, this is very important for all of us. "Enter ye in at the straight gate," Brother Hunter. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to" what? "Destruction. And many go in thereat." But it talks about that straight gate. It says the narrow way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now this morning, is that talking about eternal salvation? I don't think so, Brother James. I'm confident that it's not. But I see a lot of people gathering at the broad gate. But why would we go to that gate if it leads to destruction? Because we have a carnal nature that sometimes lures us to come to that wide, broad gate. But it tells us, Scripture tells us, to enter in at the straight gate. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." From Jesus Christ, sometimes knocks at the door. How many doors have been opened to you in your lifetime? Time and time again, right, Brother Doug? Time and time again, the Lord has opened doors for me, and some of you have opened doors for me before. My dad and mom, particularly my dad, opened a lot of doors for me. If I was Wayne's son, it seemed like I had an advantage on some things. But he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." The Bible is preached from the book of Hosea here not long ago. Hosea chapter 2 says he made the Valley of Achor a door of hope. The Valley of Achor is a place of trouble, of affliction in life. How many times in your life have you been in trouble? Brother Jewel, he made a way of escape. He opened a door that brought healing, that brought comfort. We can think of many more in Scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, I think it is. In Acts chapter 14, he talks about how Paul is under consideration there. He talks about how a door of faith had been opened unto the Gentiles. I'm sure this morning you're thankful that door opened. A door of faith unto the Gentiles. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, there was many saved over in Goshen, in the land of Goshen, near Egypt, in Egypt. And what did they do? They simply put the blood of an unblemished lamb on the doorpost and on the door lintels. They followed God's specific instruction. This brother said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord, the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You heard me say before, friends, that apparently there is pleasure in sin, because the Bible says it mentions that, but it only lasts for a season. We look for long-term things. You know, that broad gate that I mentioned a few moments ago. If we know it's leading toward destruction, then why are we going to go through that gate? Why are we going that route? Because of our carnal nature sometimes. You know, the Lord, the tempter, took him up to a mountain one time, and they could see the lights of the city down below, and that's always a beautiful sight. I love to see the nights, when the night sky, when you can see from a lofty position the buildings below with the light glowing in the distance, and it's a beautiful sight to me. But he said, you know, if you'll bow down and worship me, all this will be yours. It was already his. He didn't need to bow down and worship Satan. He never bowed down and worshiped Satan. I trust that we won't, but sometimes we let him rob us of the joy that we have in life. You know, Brother Philip Conley out at Mount Gilead this weekend told us a little bit about joy. And joy, he said, is, and I'm saying this the best I can remember from what Brother Philip said. He said it's contentment, satisfaction, and happiness that comes from who Jesus Christ is, and not who we are or the circumstances we find ourselves in. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you, I believe it says there. Now in the book of Jude, read with me, and there's only one chapter, so I won't even give you the chapter number. But in verse 8, it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, those that rule over them, and speak evil of dignities. Dignities are people who have lived honorably. People that we esteem highly as we look at man upon the earth. But look at verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. I'm not talking about Cain this morning, but you can go back and read about Cain and Abel if you want to. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam. You'll read about Balaam. He had a talking ass. That just baffles me. For reward. And perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Now, who's that? What's that talking about? Who perished in the gainsaying of Kore? It's amazing to me in the Old Testament how many times it makes reference to the New Testament. Friends, don't misunderstand this morning. The Bible says that God will visit the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now there is, sometimes I think about it, and it's not a lineage by natural ties. I pray that every minister that ever preaches to this church, Brother Joe, will be God called. You know, you heard me say before, there was a time in my life that I've expressed that I wanted to be God called, not Melvin made. You understand me? And I have to say that with all respect and humility, I trust, this morning. But think about those who have preached that came as a descendant of Elder Theenettles. A lot of them in the Old Baptist Church. I can name a lot that preached for other orders of people too that came through that same lineage. But as we go back to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 says to the chief, in my Bible it says to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Kore. Now that's the same Kore we just talked about over there that Jude mentioned in the 11th verse of the book of Jude. about those who perished in the gainsaying of Korah. He said, pronounce it Corey there. Spell it Corey. You'll find if you read there, there are 11 of the Psalms that are referenced this way that were a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now this one, the 84th Psalm, stops a streak of 11 straight psalms that had been written by Asaph, a great musician back in his time. You understand the psalms were written a lot of times experiential in nature, but they were to be sung in worship services, in praise to God. Look with me as we begin reading in Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The first four verses of here express a longing for God. Verses 5 through 9 express a traveling to God. And the last three reflect being in the presence of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You know, one reason I said I didn't need my armor so much in here this morning, because we're in the house of God. And I'm surrounded by people of like precious faith. And I thank God for that this morning. People who believe, I believe like I do, that we worship Him in spirit and in truth here at the Old Baptist Church, friends. If we didn't, I would be looking for something else. He says He's a jealous God. His glory He will not share with another. And I believe I'm satisfied that Old Baptist doctrine gives all glory to God. If it didn't, I'd have to look for something else. But how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Amiable means where there's love, where there's hospitality. I don't feel threatening here this morning. You know what I believe this morning? I'm standing before people that love the Lord and are praying this morning for Brother Joe and for me, that we'll be able to feed the lambs this morning and feed the sheep of God's pasture. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. We were talking a little bit this morning before church. Yesterday morning, Friday night, I was over at Mount Gilead. Yesterday morning, I was over at Mount Gilead. And I left at lunch because I had tickets to an athletic event that Rick Cleveland said last week was the hottest ticket ever in the history of Mississippi sports. I never envisioned a day when a ticket to watch Southern Miss baseball game would go for $400. Now, I wouldn't pay that. Now, if I was guaranteed we were going to beat Ole Miss, I would think about it. But you know, Brother Doug came in all smiles this morning. I said, Brother, it's time to worship. I don't have time to talk baseball this morning. But you know what? I should have stayed at Mount Gilead. I believe I should have stayed at Mount Gilead. You know, that's the first time we've ever hosted a Super Regional. So, yeah, I wanted to be there. I enjoy watching it. There's something to be gained for athletics and the resiliency of those athletes and the competitive spirit and the work ethic and so forth. But it pales in comparison. You know, yeah, I've been in church before where we've had controversy. But it seemed like nearly all the time, it's a place where I felt like when I left that I had won. Not because of what I had done, but because the giver of every good gift and every perfect gift had poured out His blessings upon us. And this is the place to be. You know, I was hoping more young people this morning. Now, I want young people, I want you to hear this message. Never leave the church. If you do, you're going to regret it. And you're going to make your life a little more challenging. Yea, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself, which she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. I tell you, the first four verses are dealing with a longing for God, a desire to be in the church of God and in the worship services where His name is praised and His word is taught, I trust. The next four or five verses were related to traveling to where that happens. He said they go through the Valley of Baca. I already mentioned the Valley of Achor a few minutes ago. The Valley of Achor, Achor means trouble or affliction. The Valley of Baca, Baca means weeping. See, when I go through, have you ever been through that valley? Have you ever been through the valley where you just cried your heart out? Yeah, I have too, Sister Sandra. But I tell you about Brother Philip talking about joy this weekend. Happiness fluctuates, but joy should be there. Because we know this, that there will be no trial we face in this earth, friends, that the Lord won't be with us and won't see us through it. And then some sweet day, He's coming back because He promised that He would. He'd take us where there will be no more trials, no more tribulations. When we awaken His likeness, we'll be satisfied. But if you haven't been through the Valley of Baca yet, it's on your path. Get ready. You go in there. But think about the blessings that we receive from time to time. Just this morning, we had good reports. Sister Shirley, Sister Hilda, Sister Sandra. Good news about your trials and your afflictions. You know, Sister Shirley was telling me about out at MD Anderson, where one of the most prestigious medical facilities in America. They didn't find anything, and such a good report. And in their presence, Sister Shirley acknowledged to those physicians how she believed it came. And how she believed it came exactly the way I believe it came. By the mercies of God. He's able to heal. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. They make it a well. The rain also filleth the pool. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. We go back to verse 10 where we started. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now to go back and look at this for a few moments. A doorkeeper was not a very good job in the church. A very necessary job, but it wasn't a highly desirable job. It wasn't a glamorous job. It required standing on your feet for long, long hours at a time. The duties of the doorkeeper was to make sure the gates were open and make sure they were closed. It doesn't take a bogus education to realize that they had to be there early and they had to leave late. If you had to open the gates and close the gates, you were there from start to finish. They were responsible for collecting the offerings that came into the temple. They were responsible for monitoring the storehouses and the treasuries to make sure objects didn't get misplaced. It had to be a difficult job of a doorkeeper. They were to restrict access to the worship services of unclean persons. That would be a good job to me. I like the church to be come. There's sinners already here, so you'll just make one more when you come. But come see a man. I trust this, Brother Joe. He said that's why you came this morning. He made a good looking preacher. I thought he was talking about me for just a moment, but then he realized he was talking about himself. But I'm worried about being good looking this morning. My Bible tells me when I shall see Him, there's no beauty that I shall desire Him. But I can tell you this, we're going to want to go with Him, aren't we? We're going to say, Lord, take us home. Let's go. But I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. One day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Or in this case, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But now go with me back to Numbers chapter 16. We'll go back there and look at things back there for a few minutes. And let's talk about Korah for a few minutes. And we'll read some things here to you in Scripture. Verse 16 begins, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, who were sons of Reuben, took men of 250, and they rose up against Moses." Now we understand, that of the 12 sons of Jacob, that the lineage of Jesus Christ, and Brother Philip preached on that yesterday, about the five women in the lineage of Jesus Christ that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. But due to the sovereignty of God, it came through the lineage of Judah. Now, why did the Lord do that? Because He's sovereign. But that's what He chose to do. It came through the lineage of Judah. But now the priesthood came through the lineage of Levi, who was born to Leah, one of the six sons that Jacob and Leah brought into this world. But I believe, if I remember correctly, though, that there was an Aaronic priesthood. It was defined a little bit more from Levi, and it came through the lineage of Aaron. But Korah, we talked about earlier in Jude mentioning this, way over there in the New Testament, he referred to those who perished in the gainsaying of Korah. We mentioned that Psalm 84 is what? A psalm to the sons of Korah. Now, why did they perish? They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation? Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" I believe I can speak for Brother James and Brother Joe this morning, that we are no better than anyone that's in this congregation this morning. I want to have an attitude. Remember when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he was sitting there, and Cornelius fell at his feet, and Peter said, "Get up on your feet, stand up, for I'm a man." I'm thankful I'm not a Bible character. I don't want all the things I've done laid out there in Scripture for everybody to read through the ceaseless ages until the Lord returns. Peter's are in there. Yeah, he was a man. I'd love to heard him preach. So I'd love to heard been on the day of Pentecost. I wish that was on the tape somewhere. I'd love to heard that. But he's asking, Korah's rebelling against Moses and Aaron and asking, "Why do you lift yourself up above the congregation?" Friends, there are restrictions on who can preach. You know, Brother Joe Young say not long ago, you know, that in this church we have four very faithful deacons. Brother Joe said, "I'm the youngest at 66. I said, "Well, we got four ministers directly connected to this church by membership or by a call to serve this church. And I'm 61 and I'm the oldest." He said he was 66 and he was the youngest. This church will need deacons, Brother Doug, one day. This church will need preachers one day. It's very likely some are right here. But you know, if one of these brethren in the church, when church was over, came to the deacons and come to Brother James and said, "You know what, I think you ought to ordain me as a deacon as soon as possible." If you don't want to be ordained, that's probably the best way to do it. Come ask them, tell them you think they ought to ordain you. But this Korah is bringing attacks against Moses and Aaron. Who chose Moses and Aaron to lead this wicked and perverse generation? They wandered in the wilderness. This trip should have taken 11 days, and it took 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief, of murmuring and complaining. Even Moses and complaining. "Must we fetch water for you rebels?" But let's finish up real quickly. And when Moses heard this, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his and who is holy. Whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Verse 9 says, verse 8 says, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Now, the two that were with him, Dathan and Abiathar, they were of the tribe of Reuben. So they had no authority at all to seek position in the priesthood. And really neither did Korah, because one reason, because he was gainsaying, but another reason is because he was not directly of the sons of Aaron, or the lineage of Aaron. But you'll find that when Korah died, seven generations later, a man by the name of Samuel came through that lineage. But, you know, I run into people all the time that talk about genealogy and studying that. And I won't rehash my story related to that, but you got to be careful doing that. You're going to find some characters as you go through the past. You're going to find some people that's connected to you by blood that you had no idea that were connected to you. But he said in verse 9, it seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. What do we say in Psalm 84? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. The doorkeeper can hear what goes on in the assembly of the saints. If there was someone at that door right now that was their responsibility, they can still hear what's going on in the church. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. How is the Lord going to use you in the church? Everyone on the sound of my voice has an important role in the worship service. Your prayer, your attendance. None of you sisters will ever stand right here and preach. Why? Because we don't have biblical authority. You won't be called on to pray in this church, sisters. But I tell you what I'd love to do. I'd love to come to some of your houses and hear you pray. I believe that women pray better than men. I remember a time they talked about here when Brother Charles Matthews was captured in the Korean War. Captured at Pork Chop Hill on Christmas Day of, 1953, I guess, maybe somewhere in there. My dad said they had a prayer service here, and that night they called on my mama, Velma, and my Aunt Jessie to pray. Somebody may have frowned that, I don't know. But I wish I'd have been here. I love to hear my mama pray. I love to see my mama again. And we will in the day of the resurrection. And this is supposed to be an amiable place. This is a place where God is honored. And above all, that's why we're here this morning. Brother Joe already told you about that. You didn't come to see me this morning. Although I confess to you this morning, your support of me and your encouragement for me is I can't even put into words how much I appreciate it. You have shown me time and again that you've told me that you love me, but time and time again you've shown me, you've demonstrated that love to me, and I thank you sincerely for it this morning. We're about out of time, but what I'm going to convey to you, yeah, we got a brother up at Antioch. I was able to baptize not long ago at 7 years old. Church had ended. We were standing around talking, and his dad came up to me and said, Brother Mickey, Jed wants to talk to you a minute. He may have been six then, I don't know, seven. I said, okay. He was sitting right on the front pew. We only have two rows at Antioch. He was sitting over there on the second, listening to my right. I walked over there to him and said, what you got, Jed? And he said, I want to join the church. I said, when? He said, right now. You know what I say? Fill up the baptistry. Fill up the baptistry. 4 years old. Brother Taylor Young, 6 years old. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's better in the church. It's an amiable place. It's a place where you can expect love and affection. And I can say this, any church that I'm ever a pastor of or part of, if you don't feel like you were welcome when you came, I want you to point it out to me. It's our job to receive our brothers and sisters in Christ in love when they come and worship with us. This has been a good place at this church. I know for a fact that I'm better off in this life because the Lord has directed my path to Union Church and to the Primitive Baptist Church, wherever she is. I know that for a fact. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. We baptized that dear brother, and you know what? He has a job every Sunday morning, and he performs it faithfully. When he comes in that door, he's going to hug everybody. But he goes to the refrigerator and gets a bottle of water and brings it back out and puts it up here right next to the pulpit at Antioch Church. He takes that job seriously. You ever seen young children come in and they're going to straighten those song books? They want to be upside down or backwards. Friends, it's no small thing to be involved in the Lord's service. But you'll find if you continue, I'm out of time. I'm not going to finish it up this morning, but Korah accused Moses and Aaron of putting themselves above the congregation. You know what the Bible tells me? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up. I want to be lifted up above the cares of this world. I can tell you that. I have a great desire to be lifted up above the cares and trials of this present world in which we live. This world will beat you down. It's COVID-19. There's a war in the Ukraine. There's precious young couples that the Lord has blessed with babies and they're anxious about where they're going to get baby formula from. You know, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That's hard to do. My maternal grandmother was one of the saints of God, but she was a chronic worrier, and some of that genetic came down to me. They said, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He'll open the door, won't He? Fuel prices. Every time I fill up, I pay more than I did the last time I filled up. Inflation. Roe versus Wade. Uvalde, Texas. You name it. The deaths recently. I've been to funerals recently for a 14-year-old, 63-year-old, 43-year-old, 55-year-old. All just one 2 years older than me and the rest a lot younger than me. There's sadness everywhere. I go down the road, almost every cemetery I pass has a tent out in it. But you'll find if you continue to read, I encourage you to go continue reading this. This brother wanted a more lofty position. You know, in Luke chapter 11, I think it is, it warns us about Pharisees who desire the upper rooms, upper seats in the congregation. I'm paraphrasing there. And greetings in the markets. There's another place in Scripture in Luke chapter 18 where two men begin to pray. One is a Pharisee and one is a publican, a tax collector. Remember what the Pharisee prayed? Lord, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. How far do you think that prayer made it from the lips of that Pharisee to the throne of heaven? Not very far. Not very far. But oh, what did that old publican pray? That old despised tax collector. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I believe that prayer is heard at the throne of God. You'll find, as you continue reading, that Korah and those 250 men, or maybe he was included in the 250, I can't remember for sure, but they were swallowed up. The earth opened and swallowed them up, and they perished. Jude talked about, didn't he? Those who perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Those that rebelled against the church. What I'm trying to convey to all of us this morning is this church, you know, it used to bother me when they would refer to this as Brother Melvin's church or somewhere as Brother Wayne's church. No, it's not. It's the Lord's church, and the Lord just blesses me and Brother James Conley, and Brother Joe and Brother Luke and others to shepherd over this flock from time to time. And we trust, praise His holy name. You also find, too, that I can come back and find, but maybe 1,470 also died of the plague, those who rebelled against Korah's death and what happened to them. But the Lord's going to protect His bride. And I encourage all of us to come into the doors with humility. Those doors have been opened since 1887, I believe. Not in this particular building, but right here on this hill since 1887. You think about the blessings that have been poured out here at this church across all those years. Keep coming to this church. It's not about gainsaying. It's not about a lofty position. And I'm not saying I see these things in this church. Matter of fact, I see quite the contrary. One of the best meetings I've ever been in my six decades upon this planet came in 2017 when we hosted the Amen Association right here at this church. Why was it so good? Number one, there was great preparation made. I look at this ceiling sometime and this wall behind me. I think about the effort went into that. Many of you sacrificed from your own degree of prosperity as you could to help with these improvements of the church, the landscaping that went on, the meals that were prepared, the prayer that went into it. I tell you, on Saturday morning, this congregation, it was full. And Brother James called and said he needed the preaching committee to go out there to the lunchroom. And I'm going to tell you, I told Brother James, man, you can draw him out of the hat this morning for all I care. I don't want to leave. Because I believe that day is as good a thing as I'll ever hear. Until I ascend to my Father when this life is over. Let's strive for peace. Let's don't rebel against the church. Let's put our personal differences aside. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about worshiping our Lord in spirit and in truth. And this is a city on a hill that cannot be hid. My desire is when the Lord returns, that there will still be some descendants of us that are still here, Sister Cindy, worshiping our Lord and Savior right here at Union Church. I could go to my grave in peace. If I felt confident that would happen, that my children, perhaps my grandchildren one day, your children, grandchildren will stand for this doctrine that was once delivered to the saints, friends. It's a wonderful world we live in as far as the Lord's church. And let's be a part of it. I've gone over time this morning, but I trust if this is a benefit to you. Give God all praise, honor, and glory for it's due Him. But think about the gainsaying of Corey. He had ill intentions at the church, and that won't work. We've got to come with an humble spirit if we want to be lifted up above the cares of this life. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.